Well, we are continuing our series looking at the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we teased out what is God's eternal truth, not just something that was true at one time in history, but true for all time. This week, we are asking if the gospel can change the way we look at our lives. If you saw the title in the bulletin, you know, two lenses, no, this is not a sermon about bifocals, I promise. Do you remember, if there are any Saturday Night Live fans, Stuart Smalley? Stuart Smalley was a character of Al Franken's, and his core idea was that if you tell yourself positive things over and over again, daily affirmations, it'll help you have self-esteem. His most famous line was he's looking in the mirror and he says, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. And so while Stuart Smalley is a joke character, the concept behind it is actually very real. How we see ourselves and how we see our world can change our lives. In the first text we read today, the people of Israel had been defeated. The temple of God had been destroyed. Their leaders had been carried off into exile into the nation of Babylon. And this is in the book of Jeremiah. And if you've ever read Jeremiah, Jeremiah was infamous for spending almost his entire life giving these negative, dire warnings about what terrible things were coming to the nation, and they had just happened. And so then he sends this letter to the people who were in exile in Babylon, and you know they're thinking, oh, here's Debbie Downer Jeremiah, and we're going to open this up, and he's going to say, I told you so. That's all it's going to be. But imagine their surprise when they open up this letter from Jeremiah, who had said negative things his whole life, and instead, this is a letter full of hope. Build houses, plant gardens, start families, multiply there, do not decrease. And it starts off with this fascinating little tidbit directly from God. God says to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile. God is claiming power and authority over even this dark chapter in their history. God is telling this defeated people through the prophet Jeremiah that there is hope, that this is a season, that God is going to use this to bring about a new day, and in fact, seek the best for this foreign city that you are living in, because as it succeeds, your life will be better off too. God wanted them to remember God's infinite power and God's far-reaching purpose, because if they remembered those two things, it would sustain them and guide them during this difficult season. How we see ourselves and how we see our world can affect how we live. In our second text today, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and Paul had to help the Corinthians out several times. We have two of his letters in the New Testament, and he references a third harsh letter, to use his own terminology. We don't have that letter. But in our text today, Paul is encouraging them to forgive each other and find a way to come back together. There had been some nasty infighting in the church in Corinth, and this was a letter he sent to kind of encourage them to come back together. So listen to how he points them toward God's point of view rather than their own. Listen to how he uses God's power and God's purpose to help them shape how they see themselves and see each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, it was simultaneously one of the most heartbreaking things I had ever heard and one of the most inspiring things I had ever heard. One of the girls in my previous church's youth group had a very difficult life. Her mom and her dad were separated, and her mom was like 3 seconds away from homelessness at all times. Her dad was financially stable, but he was at the very least manipulative and probably abusive. We have heard a lot of times in the news about people and institutions hearing these things and not reporting them, but this is a case where I did report it, fought for her, but the judge didn't think it was as dire as I did. And I will go to the grave bitter that I could not find a way out for her and wondering, could I have done something more? And so it was a few months after my failed attempt to get her out of that situation. So she was stuck now with her father, and now he was being a little worse, kind of taking revenge a little bit for almost getting him in trouble. And she told me what she had told him the night before. Even if you don't love me, Jesus loves me, and there's nothing you can do to take that away. Heartbreaking and inspiring. I mean, think about it. How disappointing is it for you when you like try really hard at something and you fail? Or how gut-wrenching is it when you like get your hopes up and they are dashed? Well, for her, this was as high stakes as it gets. And she had asked for help. People believed her. The church tried, and we failed. She couldn't escape. That's a really tough pill to swallow. And yet, the love of Christ sustained her. That, sisters and brothers, is the power of the gospel. That, sisters and brothers, is the same power that lives in you and in me. And that power can give us a different way to view ourselves and view our world. That is the power to tell to despair, not today. That is the power to tell hopelessness, not on my watch. That is the power to tell someone who tells you that you're worthless, not true. That is the power of the gospel. Paul writes in our text today, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. And notice, though, that he doesn't say anyone who is in Christ can become a new creation. No, he uses the present tense. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Present tense, right now. Even though you and I don't always resemble the people that we will be in heaven, we are already, today, right now, new people in Christ. It's kind of like after an election. Like there's a new person who's been elected, but they haven't taken office yet. And that time in between, they're called like the president-elect or the senator-elect or the representative-elect. They've been elected. That's real. But they haven't taken their full position yet. That's like how we are in Christ. We've already been elected into the company of saints. That's happened. That's true today. We just haven't fully arrived yet. But just like a president-elect or a senator-elect or representative-elect, they start preparing, they start acting differently once they know they've won the election. In the same way, we as new people in Christ can live differently today, even though we haven't arrived yet. It's that present reality, that already a new creation reality, that good news that we are already loved, already elected, that present reality is what gives the gospel such power in our lives. That's what gave that girl the power to say to her angry father that she is loved by Jesus, that present reality. I am frequently asked how my wife Becca and I keep going with our son's seizures and developmental delays and waking up in the night a lot of times. And I'm not trying to be trite or platitudinous here, but it really is the power of the gospel that sustains us. Because the gospel says that there are some things that are true even if you can't see them today. Even though sometimes it may feel like God has forgotten Charlie, even though sometimes it may feel like we are cursed, Jesus reminds us that we and Charlie are blessed, not cursed. We are embraced, not forgotten, that we have a future, not hopeless. Even if it doesn't look like it today, that is true. And that is the power of the gospel. So where do you have a hard time standing? Where do you struggle with hopelessness? Where do you battle despair? Where do you wonder, is there a future worth living? That's when we need to remind ourselves of the unbreakable, unbendable, unshakable power of the good news of Jesus. If we see that power of God lives within us, even if it doesn't look like it right now, that can change how we live our lives. That's the power of the gospel. So that's one lens we can look through, is the power of the gospel. But that power is used in a very particular way. The story of God goes in a very particular direction, and that's the second lens. That's the purpose of the gospel. Paul writes in our text today, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. And to kind of get at what's going on here, try to imagine in your mind, like try to picture what does heaven look like, and specifically, how many people are in heaven? Is it just you? Like, can you go echo, echo, echo? Or maybe you know your revelation, you're like, there's 144,000 people precisely in heaven. Or maybe it's full with all of these people. Or what about pets? What about dearly beloved departed pets? Like, if you got like a dog or a cat or a parakeet you're looking forward to see in heaven. Although if you've got a snake, I hate to tell you, they don't make it into heaven. I asked my dad on this. We both agree. And even though it's just because we don't like snakes, it's two pastors, so it's guaranteed to be true. So with that in mind, God's purpose includes you and me, but it is not limited to you and me. God's purpose is so much bigger than you and me. God's vision for heaven includes far more than just a handful of people. God came to redeem and restore and reconcile the world. That includes us, but it is much bigger than us. Given the context of Paul's letter, remember this was right after some nasty infighting. Given that context, he is reminding people on all sides of this internal conflict that had been raging in their church. He's reminding them, your preferences are smaller than God's purposes. Your preferences are smaller than God's purposes. When we realize that, it can change how we live our lives. A friend of mine, his father was in the hospital and wasn't doing well. And so his whole family was in the hospital and they were all together down in the hospital cafeteria eating together. And my friend's mom started complaining about how dry this muffin was. But she didn't just say it like once. You know, she kept harping on it. Like, can you believe that this is ridiculous? How could they even sell this thing in this place? What kind of establishment is this? And that's when my friend's son told her, Grandma, that's a first world problem. Next to his grandfather being in the hospital, next to the plight of so many around the world, maybe a dry muffin isn't something to get all that worked up about. That's one way that the purpose of the gospel can actually help us. We can get over it when life doesn't meet our preferences, because we're a part of God's much bigger purposes. So try to think about, what's your dry muffin right now? You know, what's the thing that's like annoying you, just getting under your skin, but it probably wouldn't make Jesus's to-do list? That's an opportunity to remember that your preferences are smaller than God's purposes. Let it go. But the purpose of the gospel can actually help us in another way too. Since we moved to Colorado, I've been taking the time to do a lot more research on, you know, like the outdoor winter activities. That seems like a good idea in Colorado. And I was looking up some information about winter camping, and I found some tips from a scoutmaster, actually, that had taken his troop on a multi-day hike in the winter. And, you know, it was a little under freezing. It was windy. They had to use snowshoes or spikes the whole way, which makes it a lot harder. And it was miserable, but it was also motivating and memorable, because they had a goal in mind. They had a purpose, somewhere they were hiking, somewhere to go. And so onward they trudged together. And afterwards, the trip that everyone talked about that year was the miserable one up the mountain, because they had suffered together in the same direction to reach their goal. In the same way, having a bigger purpose in mind can keep us moving, even when it feels miserable. Having a bigger purpose can keep you motivated through setback after setback. I just read an article last week about how the military trains and selects their special forces, and the dropout rate is famously high. It's the article said 70% right now. And remember, they're already selecting from the best of the best who want to do this and know what's coming. So 70% of the best who are already motivated can't make it. And in this article, one of the trainers said a lot of what determines who continues and who drops out has nothing to do with their physical ability. It has to do with what's inside. Specifically, people who have dealt with significant challenges in their lives before then are far more likely to persist. Because those are the people who know that many of their preferences are just first world problems. And they know they have a purpose much bigger than themselves. That's what helps you be the best version of yourself. When we focus on the purpose of God, when we remember that our preferences are smaller than God's purposes, and when we have motivation to continue because we're a part of something so much bigger than ourselves, that's what we get from the purpose of the gospel. So if you feel like you're too small to make a difference, if you feel like you don't have a reason to keep pushing onward, if you feel like too many things have gone wrong, why should I keep fighting? Remember that you're part of God's purpose. And ask God to use you for that purpose. That's what we get from the purpose of the gospel. Sisters and brothers, when we see our world and our lives through the lens of the gospel, it can change how we live. When we remember the unbreakable, unbendable, unshakable power of the good news of Jesus, we can persevere. And when we remember that our preferences are smaller than God's purposes, but we are still part of God's overarching purpose, we can find motivation to push toward a goal far bigger than just ourselves. So with those two lenses in mind, how are you looking at the world? How are you looking at yourself? And how might Jesus see things a little bit differently? Amen.